The first reading today is we hear about these three young men who refused to worship a false god, and they are about to be thrown into a white-hot furnace because they refused the royal command that they were to bow down before this golden statue whenever they heard any kind of music. And they respond, God wills to save us from the furnace, praise him, but if he doesn't, we're still not going to worship a false god. What we have to recognize is that we have been given the truth. And it's a strange thing that happens. I guess it's just human, but it's a strange thing that whenever something is at an extreme, if somebody wants to reject it, it goes to the other extreme. If someone's just sort of mediocre, they want to go the other way, they just become mediocre the other way. You and I have been given the fullness of truth. And if you look at what happens to Catholic people if they decide to reject that truth, they become really depraved. They don't just simply say, oh, well, whatever, I just don't want to do that anymore. They tend to go way to the extreme because they've rejected the truth. Jesus said the truth will set you free. And so they've rejected the freedom of the children of God, and they bought a lie of whatever variety, and they tend to throw themselves wholeheartedly into it. If they would have put themselves wholeheartedly into the practice of their Catholic faith, think what a blessing that would be. They wouldn't do that, but they'll go wholeheartedly for a lie. So we need to recognize that for our own selves, because we are capable of the same thing. Not a single one of us can sit back and say, oh no, it's not possible for me to apostatize. Oh no, I will always remain faithful. Yeah, how many people have fallen away? How many priests have fallen away? So we have to all look at that and recognize, yes, it's possible. I don't want it, obviously, to happen, but it's possible. I am so weak that I could fall flat on my face. We know that. And in order to make sure that we don't do that, we need to embrace the truth. And we need to live that truth. But because the truth is a person, we need to seek a relationship with him. We need to make sure that our prayer life is in good order. Remember back when I was first ordained, Archbishop Roach got the first year guys together, and at the end of our first year of priesthood, asking how everything's going, one of the priests asked him how he deals with these priests that are leaving the priesthood, because there were so many of them at the time. And he was talking about how distressed he was by all of this, and he said, I used to try to talk them out of it. And he said, but then I realized after a while, he said, not a single one of them did it work. He said, I realized after a while they weren't coming to tell me that they were struggling. They were coming to tell me they had already made up their mind and they're gone. And he said, so it ultimately came down to one question. And he said, this is the one question that I ask of every single priest who comes and tells me that he's leaving the priesthood. When did you stop praying? When? And he said, it's always between 3 and 5 years. He said, not a single one of them said, oh, no, 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 I pray every day. I'm keeping up my prayer. No, every one of them, he said, admits it's between 3 and 5 years, and they're gone. So these are priests who are that close to the sacraments, and they can do these things. Don't think that the rest of us can't. If our prayer is not in good order, we're going to fall too. It's the only way that we can remain faithful. And so you look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which is their given names for the Babylonians. Azariah, and Mishael are their Jewish names. But why did they get in trouble? Because they prayed. Because they were caught praying. And because they wouldn't bow down and worship this false god. And when it came right down to it and their lives were on the line, you see the fruit of their prayer. We're going to worship God. We're going to be faithful to God. If he decides that this is the way we're going to die and he's not going to save us from the white hot furnace, so be it. But we're not going to worship a false god. We're going to worship the true God. Now again, we can see in our own minds how it's logical and it makes perfect sense. And yeah, we don't want to worship a false god. It's not the question of worshiping the false god, because I don't suspect we would do that. It's a question of waffling from the truth. It's a question of remaining faithful to the Lord to the end. That's what each one of us has to look at. I don't suspect that when any of those priests that I just mentioned, when they were ordained, thought for one second that I'm just going to do this for a while, and if I don't like it, I'm going to get out. Any more than somebody getting married says something like that. No, you do this with the intention that this is for my life. But if you stop living the way you're supposed to be living, you're going to fall away. There's no way that it can be otherwise. If we are supposed to be completely for our blessed Lord, how can we do that without prayer? Any more than how can you live a married life without talking to the person that you're married to? Imagine that. You can live in the same house, but you don't say a word, but we're so happily married. Yeah, it wouldn't work. But it's not just priests. So the fact is, for those of you who are married, you're married, but you're Christian. You're Catholic. And so the marriage is in Christ. And so it's not just about your spouse and yourself. It's about the spouse of your soul and yourself. Love God first. You'll love your spouse more. But we have to be about serving the Lord. So you love your spouse in the Lord, and you love the Lord in your spouse as well. All of that can only happen in prayer, if Jesus is the focus. So whatever our vocation happens to be, it can't be separated from prayer. Because we are all called to the same freedom. The freedom to live as God has called us to live. The freedom to be who he has created us to be. And that can only happen if we know the one who has called us. And if we are in union with the one whom we are supposed to be serving. So look seriously at your prayer life. And ask yourself, is it really where it needs to be? And recognize all of us. It does not matter who you are. All of us has the potential, because we are human and we are weak, to fall. And the minute you think you can't, that's when it's going to happen. So as long as you don't rely on your own strength, but you recognize in humility, yes, I could fall flat on my face. As St. Augustine said, if it were not for the grace of God, that would be me. So we have to recognize that and admit that and say, okay, I know that I am that weak. I know that I could do this. And therefore, my only insurance against it is the Lord. I must be rooted in prayer. It has to be, or I will fall. So that's what we have to look at. So we know the truth. You've been given the fullness of the truth. Now the question is, what are you doing with it? We need to go deeper and deeper and deeper into that truth. Not so much in our heads now, in our hearts. And that only happens through prayer. That's what unites us with the Lord. That's what allows us to do His will. That's what will allow us right to the last minute of our life to remain faithful. Whether that's something extraordinary like these three young men or ordinary where we just die in bed, it doesn't matter. Either way, we need to be faithful to the end. And there is only one way to do that, and that is to have such a profound love for Jesus that we are seeking Him, seeking union with Him in our prayer.